The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wacky but Wonderful Wednesday as we discuss why understanding the biblical image of God matters. Plus, we're going to be diving into the famous prayer of Jabez. And finally, someone asked us to review what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are those who are not offended in me," and so we will examine it.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. How much more? So much more. How much is so much more? A lot more. Just so much more. That's what we're telling you. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to text us at 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. I thought I'd kind of make it fun to start right off for some of those who are into trivia. Got a challenging one for you. This will be in the last couple of chapters of the Book of Acts on trivia. How long was Paul shipwrecked on the island of Malta? How long was Paul shipwrecked on the island of Malta? If you know, then just text 214-210-8483, and we'll talk about it at the end of the segment. You're also welcome to text us any comments, any questions, and prayer requests. We actually had somebody text, asked a question about a text. We're going to talk about that in the show later on today. We're just trying to help. Here it is at the bottom line. It's just not professional radio. It's just radio. Have a good time with it and enjoy it. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. A couple things to remind you. Don't forget our Twitter line, David Spoon at Spoon Experience, because watch my handle. And also, what we always tell you on a regular daily basis, our DNA, D, draw closer to the Lord, N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. That's the Christian DNA. You have to do that every single day. You have to draw near to the Lord. You have to never be ashamed, and you have to always be ready so you're operating in the official Christian DNA. Let's cover some of the historical things, and then we're going to get into a very cool opening teach. Here we go. Today is International Guide Dog Day. The reason I'm bringing that up is because, remember, yesterday I asked people to pray for my dog, Levi. He wasn't feeling very good. You can tell he was sick. I prayed for him before the show. I asked you guys to pray for him. Today, he's 100% fine. And it's like you might think, well, did God answer that? I don't know, but I'm going to give God the praise and the glory one way or another and just assume it so. Why shouldn't I do that? Today is also International Noise Awareness Day, which means you shouldn't listen to anything from CNN, MSNBC, The View, or any late-night talk show host, because basically it's Noise Awareness Day, so be aware of the noise. It's also National Shrimp Scampi Day, and I'm going to tell you, I love shrimp scampi. I'm just being honest, just telling you how the way it is. I love it. On this day in 1852, one of the best helps I ever had in my master's degree, the first edition of Peter Rodgett's Thesaurus was published in 1852. On this day, on April 29th. Also, on this day in 1945, in World War II, the Dachau concentration camp was liberated. German concentration camp in Dachau was liberated on this day in 1945 by United States troops. Good job. And then here's something you'll never hear, nobody will ever tell you. It's just completely bizarre. If you use this as a trivia question, you'd win $1 million. Very simple. On this day in 1899, there was a vehicle that broke the 100 kilometers per hour, met the record. And the vehicle was named the Never Satisfied. Boy, that's the trivia question. What was the vehicle name? It actually went 105.882 kilometers per hour, which is about 65.8 miles an hour. And that was back in 1899, so we've been racing a long time, just to let you know, a long time. All right, totally awesome teach that we're going to get into. I love this. I love this stuff. I have probably more fun teaching this than you have listening. Keep in mind, we do have our trivia question. How long was Paul shipwrecked in Malta? You'll find that answer somewhere between Acts 26, 27, and 28. That's all I'm going to give you on that. If you know the answer, 214-210-8483. Here's our teach. Psalm 106, verse 19 through 20. It says this. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. And you're thinking, what? They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. They exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They exchanged their own glory. God made man in his image. And instead of even trying to get their brain wrapped around that God had created them, that God had delivered them, they decided we need to focus on something that's simpler and easier for us to control and manipulate. We'll make a calf. And so they made a calf, or they made an image of an ox that basically eats grass. And the dumbness in this is this. They created an image of less quality than even they were, and they worshipped it like it was a god. And you have to think, that just seems really dumb. Ah, but that's what people do on a regular basis. They worship an image, something less than God, something no better than themselves, even though they know that they themselves are a mess. Listen to this in Psalm 115, verse 8. Those who make idols will be like idols. In other words, if you make an idol, if you make something that goes in between you and God, you'll become like that. See, the reason that it's important for you and I to understand the image of God and to understand the truth as it comes through Genesis 1:1 from to Revelation 22:21 is when you worship, you need to know who you're worshiping, what his qualities are, what his attributes are, what he's all about. And what we do is we worship something less than. So people will worship something that is lower than God, and they will throw all their energy and all their power into it. And the irony is that people become like the very thing they worship. Well, for you and I, we're Bible-believing, born-again Christians. We believe that God the Father sits on the throne, Jesus Christ is at the right hand, and the active ministry today is the Holy Spirit carrying about the will of the Father through the name of the Son. And so we worship God. We acknowledge God the Father. We praise God. And the more that we worship God, the more that we acknowledge Jesus, the more that we stop insulting the Holy Spirit, and the more we give true worship and praise to the Lord God Almighty, King of the universe, the more in his image we walk, the more in his image we function, the more in his image we exist. But people who have images of other people and money and fame and power and all of these other idols that will never get them anywhere and never have a heaven to put them in, those people will become like those idols. which explains so much to you and I about so many people who are in the limelight, who are getting a lot of attention, that they come off like really, that's the word I want to use, I want to be careful, they come off with less than an intellectual flavor, or they come off really dumb, because they're worshiping dumb things, and they start to reflect that dumbness. And it's like, yikes. That's yuck. That's terrible. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to function that way. We want to worship the Lord God Almighty, and we want our lives to reflect who we worship. You don't want to worship a person, a flawed person. You don't want to worship a system. You don't want to worship things that the world offers, like greed and lust and things that are ungodly, because you'll become that way. We want to worship God Almighty. We want to reflect the radiance of Jesus Christ. We want to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and let that be a part of our reflection, and let that be a part of our mirroring in our life. The world worships what it does not even know, and it becomes what it does not even know. And so in this text in 106, 19, and 20, I mean, they worshiped a molten image, something that they in their own hands created that could be destroyed with a hammer. We worship the everlasting King. We worship the creator of the universe. We worship him who sits on the throne at the center of all of life and all that exists. And our reflection of him moves piece by piece and inch by inch as it reflects back upon us, and we look more and more that way. Exactly what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. Glory by glory, and step by step, and inch by inch, and victory by victory. While the world continues to reflect the image of dumb and dumber, and dumbest and even dumber. And it's like, yeah, I don't want that. I want to reflect the cool things. I want to reflect the right thing. I don't want my life to reflect my stupidity. That's going on all the time. I don't want my life to reflect other people's stupidity. That's so annoying, I don't even want to discuss it. I want to reflect the radiance of the Most High God. That's who I worship, and that's what I want to be reflecting in my existence. That's why we need a right biblical image of who God is. Bam. Wham, bam. Thank you. All right, I'm not going to answer the trivia question yet because it's a tough one. And when we come back from our break, I'll bring it back up and we'll talk about it again. But it's a really good question. I'll give you a chance to look at it. How long was Paul shipwrecked on Malta, in the island Malta? You'll find it in the end of the book of Acts. I'm going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment. Because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow,
fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770. The Christian station here in Texas. I might have been a little early on that little nod. I apologize. Bottom line, you can reach us by texting 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. We do have a trivia question on the board. How long was the Apostle Paul shipwrecked on the island Malta? The answer is in Acts 28. The answer is in Acts 28. So he was shipwrecked for a little while there. How long was that? That's where you can find the answer. Website, by the way, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. We have the interview up there. We have my testimonies up there. We have audio up there. We have video up there. And also the opportunity to give. We're not going to be apologetic for telling you we need help from time to time financially, because we need to do that in order to keep the show going. If you can't give, we get it. We've been there. We are there. We understand it. And we just pray the Lord bless you and ask you to pray for us by way of commitment. That way you can join the cause that way, as Romans 15:30 talks about. Don't forget, for an email, you can send it to david@hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our ministry partner.
My house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
Kimberly Ellis at Fathom Realty, our very, very, very good friend. We encourage you to reach out to her at 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES. Maybe you're a first-time buyer or experienced investor. Maybe you're involved in a foreclosure or a short sale. Got something going on. You got some questions. You want to talk real estate. You don't want to pay anybody. You don't want to make a commitment to it yet. You just want to feel out the process. I understand that. I got stuff like that going on at the school. I got some things I'm trying to talk to people on. This is a great thing. You can talk to Kimberly anytime just by reaching out to her at 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES. And she will be glad to talk to you and help you and walk you through it. And if she can't help you, she will point you in the right direction, which is a very, very cool thing that people should do for one another. In fact, let me just take this before we get into the teaching. Anytime the Lord creates an opportunity for you to be a blessing to somebody, and I am not talking financially, anytime the Lord creates an opportunity for you to be a blessing for somebody, be it just saying something, just praying something, just communicating one word, communicating any format whatsoever, providing some kind of service, providing some kind of commitment, any time that the Lord gives you that opportunity, that is an opportunity to minister and to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. If you have an opportunity to do good, you and I should always utilize those opportunities. The scripture says, do good unto all people, especially those of the household of God. So we are called to do good, to be do-gooders, okay, in that sense of just that opportunity. And if we are a little less focused on ourselves, something I just wrote in a paper for my PhD last night, if we're just a little less focused on ourselves and a little more focused on the people around us, we will find and see and can utilize those opportunities of service. So I strongly encourage everyone, including myself, to be just more aware of other people and other people's needs and other people's openings, in the sense of where we can contribute to that opening and help them. If it's financial, great, but I'm just saying, if you just make yourself available, that's a big key. All right? Okay. All right? All right. Good. All right. Psalm 106, verse 10 through 13. I want you to listen to this. This is, I confess to you guys all the time. I try not to hold anything back. I try to, I'm just like you guys. I have probably a little more Bible study than some people, but I'm just a Jewish guy trying to get to heaven through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, okay? This is kind of like my motif. And so here we go. Psalm 106, verse 10 through 13. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. Then they sang his praises. Then they quickly forgot his works. Ta-da! Ding, 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 ding. I'm telling you, so this is this text in 106, 10 through 13 is about the children of Israel. And the children of Israel had the hand of God with them. And God delivered them from Pharaoh, and he delivered them from the Egyptians, and he drowned the adversaries in the waters. And look what happened. The waters covered the adversaries. Not one of them was left. Verse 12, then they believed his words. God does things in our lives, and it's like when that happens, we're like, absolutely, God, 100%. Everything he says, everything he does, awesome. And then we'll even dance a little. Maybe we'll dance a little two-step, or maybe we'll just sing a little bit out of the corner of our mouth, and we'll just say, oh, you're so awesome, you're so awesome. It says, then they believed his words, then they sang his praises, because God did it, yes. And then they forgot his works. So this is something that you can understand as a believer that happens quite a bit. The Lord comes in and delivers us. He redeems us from the hand of the enemy. He delivers us from our circumstance. He gets us out of our situation. Thank you, Jesus. He covers the adversary with water. We just go forward in the kingdom. It's totally cool. We believe God and what he has to say. We believe his word is true. I don't care if you're an NAS person, a New American Standard person, King James person, New King James person, NIV person. You believe reading his word, you believe his word. And you sing his praises, not just at church, but for every situation and every moment that God has brought you out and has delivered you and has given you grace, you sing his praises. God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And you say, thank you. That's what I do. I know you do that. And then we forget. Because it's either the next situation or the next circumstance or the next thing that we've got to encounter. And Christians are pretty good at this. Now, I know we're supposed to, you know, be perfect in everything we do and stuff, but we're pretty good at this. We forget what God does. And then we say, what have you done for me lately? And we don't say it that way because it would be so rude, but we act that way. Because in some of our circumstances, we can only sing praises when it's all done. That's funny, because in Joshua, before the walls went down, they circled, you know, with the trumpets, with the people. The people didn't say anything, but they're circling, and it was the praises that went prior, not the praises that went after, that brought those walls down. And if you think about Jehoshaphat and how he didn't know what to do, because the armies of the Midianites were so big, 142,000 people army against his small little 15,000 to 20,000 people army. He didn't know what to do, but you know what he did? He put all the praise people up in front, and he said, "You guys lead the charge. We'll just start praising now, believing that God will do the redemptive work. And what we'll do is we'll wait until it's done and buried and over, then we'll praise." It's like, you know what? Say thank you ahead of time, because God's not going to leave you hanging. You know, I had somebody say a wonderful picture saying for us to understand. But when we're not operating in faith, we think God is going to leave us in the lurch. He's going to kind of abandon us until we get to that last-minute deliverance. And somebody did a great job of communicating this picture. It's like God is with us, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a tree on a limb, and nobody's there, and we can't figure out where he is and what's going on. And it's like that's how people feel, like they're out on a lurch. They're out on a limb. But God is the one who built the tree. And God is the one who built the earth that holds the tree. And God's the one that created the laws of gravity. And God's the one that can sustain the laws of gravity. And he can do whatever he wants to do. And he's never abandoned his people. And he's never forsaken his people. And he's never forgotten his people. And he will never forget you, ever. And so you sit there and you think, well, you mean I can say thank you even before it's done? I don't know. Do you believe God's going to accomplish it? If you believe that, then you can say thank you. If you believe that God is going to work it, it's going to happen. He's going to come through again, like he always has, like he always does, like he always will. And here are the children of Israel. They were delivered, they believed, they praised, and then they forgot. I don't think that's written to encourage us to forget. I think it's written to remind us not to forget. God is faithful. He will not abandon you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That promise is in Matthew chapter 28, and that promise is in Hebrews chapter 12. He will never forsake you. He will never just leave you hanging. He will always be there. Even if what you're doing is walking on the water like the Apostle Peter and starts to fall, and who was so close that he grabbed him by the hand? Jesus. Never far from you. Don't forget that. Always remember. Keep that in your brain. Tattoo it on the inside of your mind. They believed, they praised, and they forgot. Let's not do that. We have a better testimony from Scripture and for time. We know God is faithful, and we can count on him. All right, let me give you the answer to the trivia question. Nobody was able to get that. The question was, how long was Paul shipwrecked on the island of Malta? The answer was 3 months. He was shipwrecked 3 months. We'll get into another trivia when we get back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church. We call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, "Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity?" And I paused for a second and I said, "Yes. It's called hell."
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station, here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. You are welcome to text us any kind of praise report or prayer request or anything that you want us to work on for you. We do have something that we're going to talk about in the next segment that somebody asked us about. If they don't hear it, it will be on our podcast. So there's an easy way to get to it, and you can always get to that through where? Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Remember what John said, Jesus, talking about Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. That should be the cry of all of our hearts, that we want that on a regular basis. More of him, less of us. That's good. That's what we want. Email david@hemustincrease.org. You are welcome to do that. Or you can go to the website and just fill out a contact us form. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on.
Men of God Moving, and our very, very good friend Johnny Hill, who I've had a chance to text with back and forth. It's just great because even though we can't spend a lot of time, we still stay in contact. That's the most important part there. And just want to let you know, if you've got any moving needs coming up, doesn't matter, okay? We know that things are kind of in the process of changing, and May 1st is supposed to be some lifting and some changing. I'm not here to give you that information. I don't have the handle on all that information. I mean, I can give you what I know, but here's what I know for sure. Moving happens all the time. And if you, and it's an essential service, and if you need moving, you want to use Johnny at Men of God Moving, because he will give you an incredible discount just because of the show. No, really, for real. Get in touch with them. You go to menofgodmoving.com. You can also reach out to them at 817-707-7672. It's 817-707-7672. One of our great friends of the show, whom we love very much. They're great, great people. It's just such a blessing. And I just want to kind of give a shout-out to everybody in the audience. I know you're listening, and you're just like, wow, it's not the same as radio in the sense of the sound, but it is still coming forward. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you guys putting up with it, putting up with me, and us moving forward. And all we're trying to do is encourage and strengthen and love one another as we move closer and closer into the kingdom. We know that Jesus' return is much sooner today than it was yesterday, and if things keep going this way, it could be even a lot sooner than you think. But in the meantime, until he comes, we will occupy and move forward and advance the kingdom of God. Here is our next teaching, a well-known prayer that somehow in the church, for a little while anyway, seemed to become like a magic formula. And we're going to kind of change that up because it's not really what it says. We're going to talk about Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. This is what the passage says, and this is the information that we have, and this is the information that we use. So we don't try and make stuff up. We use what the Bible gives us. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez because, she said, I bore him in pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. The first and foremost thing you should know about Jabez or anybody else praying is if God says yes, it's done. If you pray to the Lord and the Lord says yes, it's over. Done. There it is. But it does require God saying yes. I do want to put up a few things about Jabez that I think is important because it doesn't get talked about a lot. And that is Jabez, his name, by the way, means pain because when his mother gave birth to him, it hurt. I'm surprised that every person that doesn't come out, who doesn't get an epidural, isn't named Jabez. But besides that, the definition for him, the character for him, is he was more honorable than his brothers. We don't know how unhonorable his brothers were. We just know he was more honorable, which speaks to his character. He wasn't obviously a kind of a person who would take advantage of other people. He was an honorable person. Probably means that when he gave his word, he stuck by his word. He did what he could to be honorable, to walk in an honorable sense. And so he comes before the Lord, and he prays these four. It's a four-part prayer, if you're trying to figure it out. The first one is that you would bless me. The second one is that you would enlarge my borders. The third one, that your hand might be with me. And the fourth one, that you might keep me from harm. No magic formula here. It's pretty straightforward. Oh, that you would bless me, recognizing that God does pour out his blessing. Is that financial? Sometimes. Is it other ways? Most of the time. But the key component here is that God is the source of blessing. It's not your good looks or your good works or your God is the source of blessing, whatever that blessing is. I think on Sunday I'll get a chance to hold my number 6 grandchild. That's a blessing. That's a blessing from the Lord. And then the prayer is, oh, that you would bless me. There's no idea here that he's wanting to be blessed because he's righteous. He's recognizing that the blessing comes from the Lord. When I petition the Lord, I'm just on it. I just think everybody does this, or you should do it if you don't. I just say you're generous. Romans 8:32 says, how will you not give us all things? Well, Luke 12:32 says, it's your pleasure to give us the kingdom. Matthew 7 says, ask and you will receive. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. I just say, Lord, you're a giver. And I just ask you to be generous. And I ask for that generosity to come this direction and in this area or in this arena. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a magic bullet. It's not a magic formula. It's a request. And the Lord may say yes, and the Lord may say no. It doesn't hurt to ask. See, this is the Jewish part you got to get. It couldn't hurt. Like, you can ask. And then he says, besides, will you bless me? Enlarge my border. And so the borders for people, especially back in the Chronicle time, were very important. And what he's asking for is an expansion. Like, hey, I want the lines to fall unto me on pleasant places. Give me the territory that I can handle. Don't let the enemy, you know, squat away any of my territory, and don't let me miss any territory that I have in my life. Enlarge my borders, make them to the max, get them to the place they need to be. And that's a prayer for wisdom. Well, the first one might be a petition for God's generosity. The enlarge my border port has much more to do with God's wisdom and how those lines have been defined by God, and that Jabez would reach the maximum of those lines. Then the third part of the prayer is the part that hardly ever gets talked about. It's the most important part. And that your hand might be with me. I'm going to say this, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If God is not with you, quit and go home. Okay? If the Lord doesn't go with you in something, forget it. And so he's like, I need you to be with me. This is the whole point of Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the petition. And God is with you more than you're with God. And it's important for us to grasp that. And that petition is, go with me, be with me, stand with me, because if not, I'm not going anywhere. That's what Moses said. If you're not going with us, we're done. We're not going anywhere, because there's nowhere to go. So he says, look, I pray for your generosity, I pray for your wisdom, and I pray that your promise would be true and that your hand would be with me. And then he says at the end, I pray you'd keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. I would not be in pain. I would not be hurt. And so that's a prayer for mercy. Because mercy is not getting what you should get, which is judgment. And so he's like, Lord, man, you're generous, you're wise, I need your promises, and I need your mercy. And God went, okay, yes. Bless me, enlarge, be with me, keep me from harm. God said yes. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I mean, that's just the reality. But you, regardless of what the answer, the response is, blessed be the name of the Lord, no matter what the answer is. But this is just a petition. It's a prayer, and God said yes. This is not a specialized formula. It does not one size fits all, and everybody gets to pray this, and everybody gets this answered. But you can pray this. God may say yes to all four. He may say yes to three. He'll definitely say yes to one, right? He'll definitely say yes to be with me, because he promises he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You can count on that. But you petition the Lord, and you ask him, because the reality check is he may say yes. And the other reality check is you don't know. So ask. That's why I get frustrated when I talk to people, and it's like, well, that person's sick. Well, we should pray for him. Well, I don't know about praying for that sick person. What if God says no? Well, what if he says yes? What if he says, okay, here you go? I mean, if you're always expecting a no, I guess that just tells you where the level of your faith is. Anticipating the worst in every situation. Probably not a great idea. So my response to this is, pray it. Pray that before the Lord. Personalize it. Bring it before the Lord. Ask for the simplicity of his generosity, for his wisdom, for his promises, and for his mercy. I think you can count on the mercy part. I just don't know to what level, but I think you can count on it. It's a pretty good bet. You can pray the prayer of Jabez, only just put your name in there. Pray the prayer. And perhaps the Lord will say yes. Wouldn't that be awesome? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. LordsWordsSays.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow men of God moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hand. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, if you want to be able to reach the show, you can do so by texting us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. We do have a trivia question. If you can squeeze it in, that would be great. If you can't, don't worry about it, but just give it a shot. Who is the mother of all the living, according to the Bible in Genesis? Who is the mother of all the living? Aha! The number, 214-210-8483, for those that want to text in the answer. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now, let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other services all throughout the Texas area. Our good friend Clint and the gang at Mr. Restore. Now, it doesn't matter if it's smoke, wind, flood, water, fire, not relevant. Doesn't matter, irrelevant. Here's the bottom line, okay? Bottom line is, if you've got something going on in a building, an apartment, in a church, in a house, Mr. Restore can help you. You go to MrRestore.com. That's MrRestore.com. Restore.com. Let Clint know you heard it from the David Spoon Experience. They will absolutely take care of you. They work with all the insurance companies. They are A-plus rated from the BBB, 50 years of restoration experiences, and thousands. That's a lot, by the way. Thousands of happy customers. MrRestore.com, which you can also reach them at HeMustIncrease.org and connect that way is if you want to as well. Trivia question on the board very simply is, who is the mother of all the living? Who is the mother of all the living? Okay, here we go. Somebody asked a question. I'm gonna kind of just give bits and pieces of what the question was. Just a request on a lesson topic. They had read Luke 7:23. I'm going to read it in a minute, which says, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." Can we discuss that, especially if somebody who's gotten hurt or has had a real tough time, and how do people deal with that? So let's talk about this Luke 7 portion. It's the same portion as Matthew 11 in the context of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels, and many of the stories in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar. In this case, you got Matthew and Luke specifically. Luke 7 says this, "John's disciples told them about all these things, and calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' When the men came to Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me.'" And another translation would be, "Blessed is it whoever is not offended by me." And there's a couple of different variations, but it's all towards the same end. The first and foremost thing when you're reading a text is to keep it in context. What's the story? So the main definition when Jesus is talking about blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me or is not offended in me, the main definition has to do with what kind of Messiah the people were expecting. Keep in mind that John the Baptist, Johnny B, was well known, knew what was going on, following the Lord closely and carefully, and even he was not fully sure because there was in the system an expectation of deliverance. Even the disciples allude to this in regards to Roman oppression being lifted. So they were like, "Are you the guy? Is this the Messiahship?" And Jesus is like, "Okay. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news preached, and blessed are those people that are not offended at me." They are not offended at the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. That's the context. And why I bring that up is because that's the first and foremost element that we should be looking at it. And he's saying, in essence, "I'm the Messiah. This is the first bout. This has been prophesied in the Torah. It's been prophesied in the prophets. Throughout the scripture, by the way, in the New Testament, it makes reference to the Torah, and it makes reference to the prophets, that that's where the gospel was preached first. Great stuff. Jesus is the Messiah, first coming as a suffering Messiah, then coming as a reigning Messiah." But the question is, how about when somebody reads that and it kind of has application because they kind of been going through stuff and maybe what they went through is really hard and it really hurt? And it's not unusual for believers to have some kind of offense and some kind of wound at the different styles and methods, the timing, the presentation, the application of things that God does. The answer is not just to poo-poo a person and go, "That's the way it goes. If you don't like it, you can lump it." The answer is to understand that whatever it is that the Lord has allowed and whatever it is that the Lord is working throughout all of humanity, he has a reason for it. And even though it's not plain to see, and even though it hurts, and even though there's moments where you even feel like you're against a wall, the ultimate answer is to truly trust that the plan that God has in operation is for the best benefit of everyone. And so it's hard because on the surface, it doesn't look like that. And by the way, again, the text has to do with Messiahship. But the idea that something takes place and it hurts us, and then you turn to the Lord and it's like, "This hurts. I can't believe I'm going through this, or I can't believe this situation is going on," and it's difficult. But we talked about this even last week. Even though it's difficult and painful and to us even ridiculous. The Lord wastes nothing and does nothing without our best interests in mind. And He is operating at His place, in His sovereignty, in His wisdom, and our requirement, as difficult as it is to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That's the beginning of pushing through that process. When Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him, it wasn't like he wanted that, but there's this cry, this call for the believer, especially the Bible believer, the born-again Bible believer, to understand that God is working from heaven, directing things as they go. And even if we don't get it, we trust Him that He's got our best interests in mind, even if it's really heartbreaking. You have to know, as believers, and I know this is true for many of you, that there are times where you weep before the Lord. There are times in the Scripture where it talks about weeping before the Lord. But there's deliverance from the hand of God, by the grace of God, from the love of God. And we trust Him for that. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean it's sweet every moment. But it does mean that we are active in it, and we have confidence in Him. So it's easy to want to be offended by it, but it's better to trust that He's doing what He's doing because He's working something wonderful. That's the kind of God you serve. I have never done this. I think I've only done this twice, but if you're a person that really is interested in this Luke 7 and Matthew 11 portion, there's a book. I don't recommend books often, but there's a book by a pastor named Gene Edwards, and the book is called The Prisoner in the Third Cell. Now, it was written in 1992. You can still get it on Amazon. It's like $10. I don't get anything for it or nothing like that. Just a great book explaining this Luke 7 and Matthew 11 portion. Be a blessing if you decided to purchase it. I think you would appreciate it. And if not, I'd get you your money back. Last thing to tell you, the mother of all living is Eve. Oh, yeah, that's right, Eve. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.